I know, because on my 6th birthday, Elaine gave me The Heavenly Express for Daddy, which is a book to help children understand what happens when their father dies. It had a lot of pictures in it of a man who was a daddy, but much younger than mine, with black hair instead of white, and no beard. But, like mine, he gets ill and has to go to a hospital. Then, God comes and sees the man and tells him that he's going to put him on a special train to come up to heaven and live there with him. But then, after that, I don't know what happens because Mommy took the book away because she thinks Elaine likes God too much. She took the book away, and she said she didn't believe that children, just because they were young, shouldn't be told the truth. Especially me, she said, because I'm Daddy's daughter, and Daddy doesn't believe in God, even though some of his books are sort of about him. Daddy, she said. Well, she called him Eli. Sometimes she calls him Daddy and sometimes Eli. Eli, she said, represents a touchstone of truth in this world. I didn't know what these words meant, but Mommy closed her eyes tight when she said them, and I always know that's when she really wants me to know something, so I made sure I learned them off by heart, like my 3 Ten Commandments. Coming through arrivals at JFK, Harvey Gold thinks that, these days, he would make a good immigration officer. What do they do, these guys? They look at faces. They sit in a booth and they check real face against photo face. Photo face. Real face. Photo face. Real face. All day. And me? What do I do all day? He thinks, these days. I check faces. Every face I see, I check. I check it over helplessly, looking, examining, investigating. Harvey, of course, is checking for something else, although he wonders how different it is. The immigration officers, they're also searching for changes. But what happens to the face when it moves from stasis, from when it's arranged? They're checking to see how the face looks once it's not presented face on. Whatever, he thinks. Standing in line amongst the travellers, tired and bright and buzzing. I'd be fucking great. Especially, his red-eye eyes flick upwards, the pupils seeming to scratch against the back of the lids. In this light, this take-no-prisoners angle-poised airport light. When eventually Al-Qaeda decide it's time to smuggle Osama bin Laden into America, he could have the best fucking Afghanistani surgery his siphoned-off dirty dollars can buy. He could come to my booth cut up and dyed and pixelated, and still I'd spot him. He could come in sex-changed. He smiles to himself at the thought, prompting the businessman standing next to him in the queue to frown. If he had looked closely, which he does not, the businessman might have noticed that Harvey's smile is not pure, that it contains within it a lingering frond of bitterness. Harvey's iPhone, a pocket harp, tings in his trousers. A text. He scrabbles in his jeans, which are tight around the crotch. He feels the crotch of his trousers is always shrinking these days from the disgust that he carries eternally around with him. He knows without looking that the text will just be AT&T offering him their services, but he glances anyway. And so it is. A message of hope and welcome to America, as if from the Pilgrim Fathers themselves. He is about to force the phone back through the thin slits of his front pockets when he notices another text, this one from Stella. He taps on it with his thumbnail, a thumbnail kept long as a throwback to when he used to play the guitar and imagine himself on stage with his foot up on black monitors. "Darling," the text says, "hope the flight wasn't too tough. My love goes out to everybody who'll be there, but most to you. Be safe. Kiss, kiss, kiss." He slides the screen 3 windows across with his thumb to find Deep Green. Deep Green is a chess app that Harvey is addicted to. He takes it out at the first sign of boredom or entrapment, states in which his anxiety disorder, as various therapists have christened it, is exacerbated. He now reaches for it instinctively in doctors' waiting rooms, illegally in traffic jams, and in all queues, because he knows that if he starts to play, the end of the wait will arrive faster. The downside is that Deep Green always beats him. He plays it on level 4, halfway through its 8 settings, and knows he should go down a level, but feels that that would be pointless, that any joy there might be in defeating the computer, which, for reasons unknown to Harvey, has christened itself Tiny, every time he loses he has to suffer a small, smug ting, accompanied by a gloating, "Checkmate, Tiny wins," would be undermined by the knowledge that he had to lower its game to get there. He has only just begun the game, although his thumb is already hovering over the resign button, when he senses the businessman beside him twitch with irritation. He looks up and realizes that everyone is now waiting for him to cross the green line and approach the booth. He puts the phone away, fumbles for his passport in the bum bag strung badly across his thumb.